Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Good to be back with you once again, and we give you a very warm welcome to our television broadcast. We thank you for tuning in, and we welcome you in our Saviour's name. Let us begin then with prayer and ask the Lord's blessing and for the Lord's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for thy mercies to us. We thank thee we come again in the name of our Lord Jesus, the sole King and only Head of the Church. We bow humbly and reverently in thy presence at this time. We approach unto thee not through human ceremony, but through the shed blood and finished work of our blessed Redeemer. We thank thee for our Mediator. There is one Mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And through his wounds and by his blood, and finished work upon the cross, we have access to thy throne of grace. We thank thee today for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for its simplicity, that he who runs may read, and the wayfaring man, though a fool, may not err therein. Bless the preaching of thy gospel today, the gospel of free and sovereign grace. Grant that hearts may be subdued, that sinners may be won to Christ, and that many this day will find true happiness in being born again by the precious Spirit of God. Our scripture reading then is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose, and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Amen, and God will bless the reading of his own precious word. We're going to sing the hymn, Days Are Filled with Sorrow and Care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Our subject today is the secret of true happiness. In Matthew 9, verse 2, we read, And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Our text links good cheer with sins forgiven. Here is the secret of true happiness. The word of God says, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. The angelic announcement of good tidings of great joy to the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem was that of one born to save his people from their sins. And heaven's happy song is all about the Lord Jesus and his blood shedding at the cross. In Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6, they sing, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever." In short, then, happiness is a soul pardon from sin. And we learn from the passage of Scripture that we read that sin is the cause of unhappiness. This is proved by considering three events. The first event, sin among the angels. In Jude, verse 5, we're told, "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Sin caused the angels to leave their own habitation. They went where they were not supposed to go. That's what sin is. It is a going where God forbids us to go. This transgression brought upon the angels chains, darkness and judgment. Christ tells us that damnation was prepared for the devil and his angels. Those angels learned that misery is the fruit of sin. Then consider sin among men. Romans 5 verse 12 tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." What misery sin brought upon mankind. The Shorter Catechism in question 19 asks, "What is the misery of that estate whereinto man fell?" The answer given is, "All mankind by the fall lost communion with God, are under his wrath and curse, and so made liable to the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever." Job 5 verse 7 says, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." And Proverbs 13 verse 15 states, "The way of transgressors is hard." It is not the way of the poor that is hard. It is not the way of the uneducated, nor the way of the underprivileged, but the Bible states that it's the way of the transgressor that is hard. The transgressor, be he rich, be he educated, be he privileged, will discover the way is hard and unhappy. And then let's think about sin upon the Saviour. Nowhere is the misery that sin causes more graphically displayed than at the cross. Lamentations 1 verse 12 cries out, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." The agonies of Christ were caused by sin. Our sin, your sin, my sin, the sins of his people for whom he was dying as their substitute and sacrifice. Listen to these well-known words in 1 Peter 2 verse 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Also in 1 Peter 3 verse 18 we read, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." In order to obtain eternal salvation for us, Christ endured eternal misery in our room and in our stead, the eternal misery of sin. The cross proves conclusively that sin is the cause of man's misery and unhappiness. There can be no real happiness until sin is forgiven. We will find peace and joy, love and contentment, all springing up after we're converted to Christ, but none of these before that happens. Any peace, love, joy, or contentment that the unforgiven sinner may experience in this life is false and vain. As Ecclesiastes 7 verse 6 says, "For the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool." This also is vanity. Any happiness that is derived from earthly possessions, earthly pleasures, earthly popularity is fleeting. It will just as surely crumble as will earth's riches. Psalm 102 verses 25 and 26 say, "Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed." Neither earth nor its treasures shall last for very long. How futile then to look for lasting happiness from this decaying world. True happiness depends upon a right relationship with God, and that can only come into being when sin has been forgiven. Every true child of God may be able to say with Paul, "We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Christ's cleansing blood reconciles us to God by removing our sins, and we have peace with him. And this is the foundation of real happiness. The misery of hell consists in the total absence of God's mercy, the absence of God's grace, of his peace and his blessing. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked," said the psalmist. "What a storm shall break upon the head of the ungodly when they are cast into hell." As boats within a harbour may be tossed a little by the storm that rages upon the open sea, so sinners feel but a little of the eternal miseries that await them in eternity. Life's troubles are but ripples in comparison to the terrifying breakers waiting to hurl them upon the rocks of perdition. Sinner, be warned and be reconciled to God before it is forever too late. Those who have their sins forgiven have every right to be happy, because forgiveness of sins is an eternal blessing. God said, "I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Forgiven and forgotten. That is the message of the gospel. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Our sins could not be removed further from us than they are through the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. Forgiveness is proof of divine favor. What favor granted by men could be greater than this? Could riches, property, titles, lands, or fame ever compare with a free and full pardon of all our sins, and the entering into an eternal friendship with God, whereby he becomes our Father and we become his children? In 1 Samuel 2 verse 8 it says, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory." Forgiveness of sins, then, is an essential step in this glorious elevation to the highest. Through forgiveness of sins, our whole status changes. The condemned are pardoned. The outcast is brought back. They who were afar off are made nigh. The slave is made a free man. This is the portion of the forgiven sinner. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. God's blessing is now upon all that is the Christian's. His home, his family, his business. Listen to these lovely words from Psalm 128. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. You can never know happiness until you know God's forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will never be able to exhaust the happiness that becomes yours when Christ becomes your Savior. And furthermore, not only will you experience true happiness in this life, but assurance and peace and true happiness in eternity. The Apostle John says, we shall see his face. And the hymn writer wrote, face to face with Christ my Saviour, face to face what shall it be, when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. The late Jock Trout, a former superintendent of the Tent Hall in Glasgow, said, when my train runs into Central Station in glory, I know that my Saviour will be there to welcome me home. I'm glad that I too can say that. And I know also that my own parents will be there. Oh, how much I owe to them. And together, throughout the endless ages of eternity, we shall gaze on the face of our Saviour. And friends will be there I have loved long ago. And joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from the Saviour I know will through the ages be glory for me. Tell me, is a Saviour like that not worth trusting? Surely he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A man's friendship is measured by his deeds. Do you know what Christ's greatest deed was? Listen, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Dear unconverted friend today, you are his enemy. And yet Christ died, as the scripture said, God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, that is, enemies, Christ died for us. And again, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, that is, his enemies. Jesus Christ came to save. He died to save. He rose again to save. He lives to save. And he shed his precious blood to save sinners. And he's here today to save. Oh, will you not come to Christ, to Calvary, and stand under the shadow of the cross, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Dear friend, in the light of the cross and of all that Christ has accomplished there, will you not trust him as your own and personal Saviour? I wonder, are you resting on your religion? Are you resting on good works? Are you trusting in your privileges? Like me, perhaps, you had a sheltered upbringing, a good home. You heard the gospel. Some of you have heard it often, but still you have no faith, no grace, no peace, no hope. You're not saved. Oh, take care, lest you die in your sin. And the light of all that you have heard, you still perish in hell. May you listen tonight to the word of God as he invites you to come unto him and to trust him as your own and personal Savior. Maybe you are a backslider. You're growing cold. You're slipping away from God. God still loves you, and He wants to restore you. Will you confess your sins to Him and commit your life to Him? Maybe you're halting between two opinions. You know that Jesus Christ is the answer to your need. He is standing here before you today, and the question that faces you is this: what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Today, you can do one of two things with Christ. You can turn away from Him and go out into the darkness of the night, which could be a prelude to eternal darkness. Or you can turn to Him. The Bible calls this repentance, a turning away from sin, a turning in faith to Christ, trusting in Him as your Savior and your Lord and your friend. If you do that, you will discover the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You will find forgiveness of sins and true happiness. Jesus said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." The good news and the good cheer of the gospel brings forgiveness of sins and true happiness to the pardoned soul. The Bible promises, "I will blot out all of thy transgressions, and your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more." Amen. We will close in a short word of prayer. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the person of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He is God the Son and the Son of God. We thank Thee for His work upon the cross of Calvary, making atonement for sin, providing a covering whereby our sins will be remembered no more against us forever. And our Father, bless Thy word to every heart who has heard it, and apply it savingly to their soul, and help them to trust in Christ and to know Him whom to know is life everlasting. So bless Thy word. Let it go forth, Lord, to bring forth glory to Thy name and sinners to Jesus Christ, because we ask it all in His name and for His sake and for His glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.